Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. We thank you for joining us. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Lori Pickup from Michigan. I hope everyone is having a good evening. And we decided to do an extra show this week because of the election yesterday. So we're going to talk about that, some other political issues.
We do apologize for last night because they're having technical difficulties, they're having technical difficulties again tonight. So hopefully we'll get cut off and we could get calls. We're not expecting any calls because, like I say, this was like a flash in the pan. We review what happened yesterday during the special elections. The governor of Kentucky won a re-election, Beshear, and the past five presidential elections, when a governor wins in Kentucky, it also goes based on statistics that whoever the incumbent president is, they'll win re-election. So let's knock on wood and hope for the best and hope that statistic don't change. And we had a surprise fight in Mississippi where the Democrat gave a good run for his money, Elvis Presley's cousin. But he fell just short. Why? Because nine precincts, it is reported, didn't have enough ballots for people to vote, you know, so, wow, how convenient, you know, it's Mississippi after all. We talk about Pennsylvania and how the Supreme Court in Pennsylvania is not fully Democratic, but the majority of seats are Democratic. And whereas Ohio is now enshrined in the Constitution that, you know, women would have the right to an abortion. So let's get sure on word. It season 6, episode 3, special elections 2023, democracy wins. The difference between genius and stupidity is that genius has its limits. It is abundantly clear that the Republican Party has no genius, whether in thought nor action. They continue to do the same stupidity and expect different results. That is the definition of being crazy. One can only hope they learn, as most of their extremist candidates, supported and endorsed by their cult leader and psychopath, Donald Trump, lost pretty badly in special elections all across the United States. Ohio now has abortion enshrined in the Constitution. Virginia now controls the General Assembly, giving limited power to the MAGA governor, Glenn Youngkin. Pennsylvania has progressive state Supreme Court. Mississippi got a jolt when its Democratic candidate for governor got a real shot at being the upsetter in the deep red state. The list is endless, with the cherry on top being Governor Beshear being reelected in a landslide in Kentucky. All signs lead to the blue wave blowout in 2024, from federal seats right down to school board and everything in between. The world saw Democrats spanking fringe right-wing MAGA extremists losing everything, including their dignity and what is left of it. Bidenomics is a crucial aspect of a growing economy and creates more jobs and opportunities for all Americans. Why is it not translating nationwide as it should? Because MAGA and Republicans demonize it as socialists and communists. The DNC needs to do a better job at branding and selling it as it is more long-term benefits for America on a whole. Can Democrats build the momentum, or will Republicans demagogue the success of Biden? Call in. Tell us what you think. 515-605-9802. Say your first name and where you're calling from. Visit our website at www.kitchenpolitics123.com. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. So let's get cooking, Lori. So the first thing on the agenda. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to start because someone sent me a comment, and it did have to do with the election and the elections that are coming up. So I'm going to read her comment. She said, the Democratic Party has been failing for a long time, so long that we are actively now fighting overt and proud fascism in the United States. And I am still unsure what this strategic plan for the left. How do we intend to seize power away from the right? And if and when we get it, how do we intend to hold on to it? Are we just doing, are we just going to lurch from election to election tactfully? Where is the answer to 2025? Where was our answer to Operation Red Map? I'm mad because nobody knows anything that the Democrats have done unless they happen to be people who follow politics closely. That's a losing strategy, and it's one that's been standard. That's only part of it. Let me get it in a second. Someone's messaging me, too. And that's been standard. I'm mad because who is in charge of making sure we have a strategy? Who is in charge of hyping up the shit we are accomplishing? Who are the people over there at the DNC headquarters making a cool six figures every year and eating all the at all the posh places here in D.C. to what exactly? To do what exactly? Fundraising emails from James Carville and texts from Joe Biden. Who do I have to live with? Why do I have to live with existential dread every 2 and 4 years? How can we possibly be getting our asses handed to us by fascists? That is all the questions that she's asked. And I just, I answered, but I didn't get in detail, and I will tomorrow because I ran out of time. I told her I was very aware of 2025. We did a podcast on it when we did last Sunday. Was it Sunday, Monday?
Sunday,
Thursday.
Monday, and Thursday. Yes.
Yes, we did a podcast on Project 2025. And I'll explain it for a second because a lot of people do not know what it is, but it is catching on steam. And what it is basically is if the Republicans go into power, if the Republicans go into power, they want to give the president of the United States basically power to do whatever he wants. They'll get rid of the Justice Department and every branch, the DOJ. There is a long list. All you have to do is Google it, or it's going to be on our website soon. We did a podcast on it. It is horrifying. More and more people are becoming aware and will reject it, just like they did the abortion issue.
Yes, they will. Hopefully good sense will prevail, like it did in Ohio and Virginia and Pennsylvania and across the country. The only state that really messed up was Mississippi. But, you know, can't expect any better from Mississippi. As Tate Reeves, the governor there, he looks like Peter Griffin from Family Guy. Well, that, you know, that's another story. He is a Trump Republican. And I find it convenient that, you know, in the most black and minority area of Mississippi, nine election places were short on ballots. I mean, you have a big election coming up. Wouldn't you think that, you know, the supervisor of election will have all the ballots necessary for people to vote? You know, so again, Tate, whatever his name is, the governor who won re-election, I said won in quotes, because Republicans, as usual, have to suit up cheating and gerrymandering and what have you. You know, so if that weren't the case, do you think the Democrat, Presley, would have won, could have beaten him, given an even more serious run for his money? You know, I feel so. And if places like Mississippi, who has been red for how long now, you know, since the civil rights era days, you know, and then we do have a chance in 2024 to turn things around.
You're right, absolutely. I want to go back for a second. I don't know if everyone's aware, this was breaking news earlier. The U.S. launches airstrike in Syria in response to attacks. In response to attacks by Iranian-backed militias. This was... The U.S. carried out an airstrike on a weapons warehouse in eastern Syria used by Iranian-backed militias in retaliation for what has been growing number of attacks on our bases housing U.S. troops in the region for the past several weeks, the Pentagon said. In Wednesday's strike, two U.S.-15 fighter jets dropped multiple bombs on a weapons storage facility near Mesilan in Deir al-Zor that was known to be used by Iran's Revolutionary Guard, U.S. officials said. The president has no higher priority than the safety of U.S. personnel, and he's directed today's action to make it clear that the United States will defend itself, its personnel, its interests, the Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said in a statement.
Mm-hmm. So the military officially told reporters in a car that, you know, people are seen and warehouse during there. The United States military watched the site for hours, but the number decreased about a couple overnight when the strike occurred. So the officials said that the strike triggered secondary explosions, indicating the presence of weapons. But United States believe that there are no civilians were killed and any people and the warehouse were tied to the Revolutionary Guard or militia groups. So, again, Syria and Iran meddling, but they shouldn't be meddling. And, you know, they're taking the side of Hezbollah. And, you know, are we seeing, you know, the outset of World War III? I feel we are.
I don't want to go there, but it's certainly possible. But we don't want to even think in that direction because World War III, everything is gone. The world is destroyed. Right. What else can we say? So let's just hope that, you know, these strikes that, you know, we are doing in retaliation just shows them that, you know, we're not going to allow them to, you know, hurt our troops in any way, shape, or form and let it go at that. But we shall see. We're in very uncharted waters. It makes me very nervous. It's an election year. We have our own problems in this country with, you know, the MAGA Republicans, the fascist parties, and, you know, the fascists that are trying to take over. Gerrymandering, that is what that red map is. Everything. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have to get our house in order here because we need a government that's functional, that's going to help the American people, you know, give the things that we need in this country to push it forward. But I know that in reality that we've always been the police for around the world. And, you know, so I don't know. How do you spread yourself that thin, you know?
Well, the great Roman Empire did that, and also what happened with the Roman Empire, the collapse, and every empire thereafter were betrayed, spread all over the world, United Kingdom, Great Britain did that, and also where they ended up after World War II. So, you know, instead of being the world police, maybe we should just concentrate on what's going on at home. I know there are interests in the Middle East, you know, for example, when we have bases in places like Israel and Saudi Arabia after Desert Storm. I mean, it's in the best interest of the United States, but, you know, then again, why have bases like in Saudi Arabia where, you know, every other day they're teaching their schools to hate America, you know, give them billions of dollars in with money or patronize them by buying their oil. So the Saudi Arabia, are they really our friends or they're just using us, you know? Syria been a problem for us since the 1960s. Iran, after the fall of the Shah of Iran in 1979, you know? So the United States is really hated in the region and our own ally basically is Israel there, you know? And if Israel get blown to pieces and do exist in the war, then we'll have no foothold in the region. So, I mean, Israel has a right to exist, but then again, you know, is Netanyahu doing right by killing innocent civilians? You know, I hope people, you know, like, really think about what's going on and everything, and not really take sides in this conflict, because there are gray areas in this conflict. Not saying Israel is all right or Palestinians are all right, but Hamas is not and was never a group of, you know, fighting patriots for a better cause or a good cause, but they're terrorists. So we should call a spade, and Hezbollah and Hamas are terrorists. So, you know, it's a call, one call is there. Okay, and hello, Elaine. Welcome to the show. What's cooking tonight?
Oh, good evening. Locally, I can speak locally for Michigan. We got a very wonderful person in the city of Warren, Michigan, Laurie Bartwell, a very progressive woman. Well, I'm very happy about that. Before I called into the show, I was listening to the Republican Hour, the debates. Kind of comical. And that Schwami, he really gets me. I mean, he just, I don't know. I really like to know what planet he's on.
Yeah, he's really crazy.
And as far as we were talking about Israel and Hamas and what's going on, I want to make my stand very, very clear. I am 1,000% against Hamas. I am 1,000% against terrorism. But I'm also a people person. And when people are caught in the crosshairs, and if there's something that we can do to save people, I'm all for it. So I will not go back to the subject tonight unless it calls for another explanation.
No,
what do you
mean,
being from Michigan, what do you think about Rashida Tlaib, a congresswoman in District 13, I think? She was censured by the Republican majority in the House.
She was throwing gasoline on the fire. She was making it, she was just plain riling people up for no reason at all. Now, I mean, she is a congresswoman. This is the United States of America. Whether she likes a particular brand of people, she's got to take and she's got to work for everybody. Now, Hamas is a terrorist. She did not make herself clear.
She
was coming off as if she was protecting Hamas. And she was called out on it. She wasn't even giving the rest of the people who feel bad and who have morals and were worried about the people in the crosshairs. She was condemning us. No. I'm sorry,
no,
but she was wrong. Now, all she needs to do is to calm down and work with work up there in Congress like she's supposed to, not throw gasoline on a fire.
Go ahead, Laurie.
I listened today to her speech on the floor, the House floor, and she basically apologized. She didn't apologize, but she tried to explain, and the reason why she was so, I thought it was rude. I'm sorry. I'll say the way I saw it. I thought that at that time, and I felt the same way as Elaine does, she represents all people in our country. And if she is Palestinian, you know, she can't be mad at someone that is from Israel, you know, as a Jew. So as a Jewish person. And it came out, I don't know if that's because she was so passionate and upset. She has a grandmother there. And I understand all that part of it. I do understand that. You know, you have family there. And she said they want to live a peaceful life. Well, yes, everybody wants to live a peaceful life. But, you know, we have to all remember that Israel was attacked by Hamas. Now, do I think that maybe Netanyahu, yes, I just lost my train. Do you think that Netanyahu is going a little bit too far? I do.
Yes, he is.
I think.
And even Republicans, listen, even Republicans, I can't remember the two goons and clowns that were saying, that even call Rashida Tlaib, in defense of Rashida Tlaib, and the other Muslim from Minnesota, Ilhan Omar, mm-hmm. terrorist.
Yeah,
because they're Muslim.
Omar, yeah.
You know, so mm-hmm. what the hell, you know?
Yeah, that's
Tlaib,
what I'm saying.
Is a good person. Can I make a point?
Yes.
I have
Republicans are
Rashid.
Far worse in their rhetoric than she ever was, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Look at Marjorie Taylor Greene.
I'm sorry. I have listened to Rashid talk other places.
Mm-hmm.
She puts her mouth in gear without thinking.
Yeah, I've
she
seen that before.
She makes it very clear that she's Palestinian first and the country second. I have listened to her speak about the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to listen to her rhetoric. If she's got any beefs with the Democratic Party, you go into a room, you close the door, and you hash it out.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hash it out at some place where other people can hear your comments.
Mm-hmm.
I have a very, very strong beef with her about that.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard her too, Elaine, and I agree with you. And like I said,
mean, you know, people listening to this program ought to realize by now that Kitchen Politics 1, 2, 3, we call it out. If it's wrong,
mm-hmm.
it's wrong, whether it's Republican
mm-hmm.
or Democrat.
Oh, yeah. We agree with that. But like I said, we have to remember it was Hamas that attacked Israel. And I feel horrible for the people in Israel and in the Gaza Strip and all around that whole area. I don't know. And, you know, and blaming President Biden, this is the other part that makes me upset, and thinking that he can physically do something to stop Israel from attacking Gaza, you know, the Gaza Strip and Hamas. They're in that city now. The Israeli soldiers are in the city right now. They've surrounded it. But they're not letting up, and no one is getting out, and food and medicine and water is not getting in. In my opinion, that's a little bit inhumane, or it is inhumane. So there has to be at least a ceasefire, let's say for 24 hours, make a plan, and for 24 hours, get trucks in there with food and water and get some of those poor people out of there. I mean, I just don't understand. And the Hamas are using, you know, both the Palestinians and the hostages, you know, as their shields. That's how you see it. But they're blaming the president as well. And our president...
Well, Rashid blamed President Biden also.
Yeah, she did. Yes, I heard that. Mm-hmm. Yes.
But listen, in defense of her, I have to defend
mm-hmm.
her. Reason being is that her people... the Palestinians have been shit on by Israel and treated
yeah.
poorly. But, you know, is there any difference of how the Nazis treated the Jewish people in Germany and across Europe? No. It's even worse.
No.
You can compare it to apartheid in South Africa, where if you want to get
mm-hmm.
from point A to point B, you need a special
mm-hmm.
pass.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they live there, so... You know, why have your foot over their necks and not giving them breathing space? It's not every Palestinian is a terrorist, you know?
No.
And it's unfair for the regular Palestinian, you know, to want to go about their business. And in Israel with Netanyahu, a far-right nationalist piece of garbage, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, like kowtowing and bullying people, Look at his cabinet. Yeah. Imagine one of his cabinet members who got suspended because of his remark was saying that, hey, why not drop an atomic bomb on Gaza Strip? How irresponsible and how stupid and low down and dumb is that?
Yeah, that was
awful. You know,
this is how deep the
hate is for Palestinians. And vice versa. So you can't expect the Palestinians to sit back and be bullied for near 8 to 5 years or 7 to 5 years now, near 8 years.
No. No one is saying that. I think you're misunderstanding. What I'm saying is Rashid is, she is in government and she should be for the people. Yes, she's Palestinian. Yes, but she lives in the United States. She lives here. And how can she help the people that are living there? She does not live there. And I understand her strife. I understand her anger. I feel bad. But you cannot be blaming our government for what is happening there. She can't do that. That's the way I feel. I mean,
same here.
Because, you know, in a way, she should be saying to President Biden, if she really wants to get on his good side, say, President Biden, what can you do to help the Palestinians? What can we do? How can we work together? Instead, she's attacking him, and it's not right. And she's angry, and I get her anger, but it's not doing her any good being on the stage that she's on. It's just not. And that's why she was censored. I mean, and
she could say to the Palestinian people, let's put the pressure on Hamas. He's Palestinian.
Right.
I think he's Palestinian.
Right. Well, you know, when I listened to her speech today, I did feel sorry for her. I mean, she broke down. She was just in tears. I mean, you know, she's upset because she was censored. And I understand that part of it. I understand her being upset because she was censored, of course. But, you know, she has to stop and think who she's working for. She's not in, you know, she's not in the Gaza Strip. She's here working for the United States, you know. That's what we have to remember. And
okay, so, and again, I disagree with you, reason being because Republicans have been far more rhetorical, labeling people terrorists, even Democrats as terrorists. Ilhan Omar has gone through crap. You know, Tlaib herself has gone through crap because of Marjorie Taylor Greene. You know, so when she hit back, it's only human to hit back and everything. So we can ask restrain from Tlaib and Ilhan Omar, but not Marjorie Taylor Greene and all those idiots on the right.
Why the sense of their own people?
Why? That's some more rhetorical bullshit
and hateful shit. She's not fighting Marjorie Taylor Greene. She was going after our president.
Yeah, she did make many, she's made many, I mean.
Then why is the United States up in Israel's ass, okay? Why?
What?
Because of interest, okay? And
I
disagree with it. I agreed
the...
what she did. I agreed what she did and Ilhan Omar did because I go through hell with these racists inside Congress. You know, I don't agree with Joe Biden taking Israel's side 100%. You know, because there's three sides to the story. Their side, the other side, and the truth. And Israel is not being truthful. You know, I'm not anti-Semitic, but Israel have some explaining to do in terms of how to treat Palestinian people, how to shit on people, how to bomb the crap out of the women and children, how much babies have been killed since this war began two weeks ago.
David, there is no doubt. I agree with you about that 100%. I agree with you. I think that Marjorie Taylor Greene should be censored. I think Lauren Boebert should be censored. I think that whole group should be censored. That's my opinion. But to me, this is a little bit different circumstance, just a little bit different because we're on the cusp of maybe World War III. And maybe if she would have approached President Biden in a different way and said, can you help? What can we do to help, you know, the people in Gaza? What can we do? I know that you're 100%, 110% with Israel, but what can we do to help these people? Maybe she should have come in a softer way instead of attacking, where she got herself in trouble. Now she can't say anything. You follow what I'm saying? And that's the problem. That's the problem. And
I mean, President
Biden
was sending Blinken over there, one trip after another. And she goes and makes a statement that President Biden isn't doing anything. He didn't start this mess. He's not Netanyahu. He isn't up Netanyahu's ass like the orange monster was up Netanyahu's ass.
Yeah, it's really complicated. So I guess maybe.
I mean, it's like a house fire. It's like a house fire. You bring the fire department out. They're putting the water on the fire, but the neighbor next door didn't like the people inside, so they're going to throw gas on it. That's the example I'm going to give.
Yeah.
She's there to throw water on the fire, not gas. There's a time and a place to take care of what Netanyahu is. He is not a nice man. I do not like Netanyahu, but I also despise Hamas. Hamas has used his own people. He knows his own people is there.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think all the bombs came all the bombs came from Israel, because they didn't.
Mm-mm. I don't know that for sure, but I'm just saying that. I guess we need to agree to disagree, David, because, and I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying, David. You're right about many, many things. I just feel that she should have taken a different approach, and maybe she could have got something out of the administration for it. That's what I think. You know, a little diplomacy gets you a long way sometimes. And that's
she could have worked with Mrs. McCain. I can't think of her first name right now. Who was she was in Egypt making sure that the trucks would get through.
Mm-hmm.
This is a different situation. Where has she been all these years? Now all of a sudden she's going to start talking about it?
She's always spoken on behalf of Palestinians, because her mother, grandmother are Palestinian. She was born here,
right.
So she's Palestinian American, and she have a big block of supporters who voted for her to be a member of Congress. You know, so she's speaking on behalf of people who voted for her. You get what I'm saying? And ever since 1948...
By throwing gasoline on the fire. By making neighbor against neighbor. She isn't making the situation any better. And I have heard her speak in other places. And when she can, she bad-mouths anything the Democratic Party and the progressives want to do.
Yeah, because progressives are trying, some not progressives, but some Democrats are trying to be Republican light, okay? And that's what she's hitting on again.
You haven't
that's
heard her speeches.
Hitting again.
You have not
but
heard
I
her
have,
speeches.
I have.
Oh, no, you haven't. I stood right in front of her as she badmouthed the Michigan delegation.
Mm-hmm.
For no reason at all.
All right, so let me ask you a question. Why is the United States Congress so up in AIPAC, as the American-Israeli Political Action Committee? You know, I mean, Democrats and Republicans just up in them. You know, aren't they supposed to represent the people? What a big, you know, thrust with Israel and, like, you know, everything Israel say, the jump to. What's that about?
I don't understand your question.
In other words, Israel said jump and Congress said how high? Is Israel that powerful that, you know, our members of Congress have to be, you know, kissing their asses 24/7? That's my question.
Israel is our only ally in that part of the world right now. A lot of times, in order to save peace, you gotta take and eat a lot of shit. I've been in the political ring. I understand the game, and it's not pretty.
Mm-mm. I would never want to be in it. It's not for me.
Mm.
Okay, let's move on because I think that our views are the same. We want the same goals. We want Israel to, you know, have peace. We want the Gaza Strip and the people there. We want Hamas defeated. We want Hezbollah defeated. But, you know, we were talking about Rashid and how we feel about the way she, you know, talks here. I think she should be a little more diplomatic, and maybe she could get, you know, a little more sympathy and a little help. But she
okay.
went the opposite. So, I mean, that's the way I feel. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm not saying I'm wrong. That's my feeling. That's something that I think
okay.
I would
Fair enough.
Do if I was in her shoes. I wouldn't
mm-hmm.
take, I wouldn't, you know, say, look, I'm Palestinian, so, and get upset with our president and get upset with everybody. You know, the Jewish people are suffering as well here. I mean, it's a no-win situation. It really is
okay,
a no-win
fair
situation.
Enough. But do asshole
mm-hmm.
Republicans like Lauren Boebert and Marjorie Taylor
yes.
Greene and that asshole
Absolutely.
From Florida with a big forehead,
yep. yes.
with my forehead, Matt Gaetz,
yep.
are they diplomatic
yeah.
when they speak? No. No, and the media, like, you know, kiss up them and give them interviews and give
no,
them
you're
air
right
time.
About all of that, but I am not.
So why
why
is Tlaib getting hell compared to those motherfuckers
mm-hmm.
there? I'm sorry. No, why? Why? You know?
Oh, but it's
why?
Okay to shoot up it's okay to go and shoot a temple up and kill a bunch of Israelites?
No, I'm not saying that. It's not
okay.
right.
And we're getting way off the subject here. We
yeah.
have got
mm-hmm.
there's a problem in Israel. Hamas started it. Yes, there is history over there in that part of the world. That history goes back to the Dark Ages. We aren't going to take and change that history overnight, but we can sure try. But you don't change history by condemning the country that is trying to help, and that is America. We were over there trying to help both the Palestinians and the Jewish people. You don't get up and start condemning your president for all the good that he is doing and for all the good that Blinken kept going over there and saying, we've got to protect the people.
When it first happened, what did Joe Biden
say? The politics out of it. He was trying to save lives. Yes, she's gone through shit with Boebert and the other people. Fine. But also Jewish people have been killed in their temples. This isn't the time to take and start another situation. We've got a situation going, take care of this right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so moving on now, you made a point
mm-hmm.
and we'll kind of agree to disagree on everything. So the Richmond
mm-hmm.
Times-Dispatch came out with a story saying that Youngkin come up short, that's Governor Youngkin from Virginia, as the,
mm-hmm.
the Democrats hold Virginia Senate and flip the House. So the Virginia voters have spoken and they denied Governor Glenn Youngkin high stakes and high dollar
mm-hmm.
bid to flip the Democratic-led state Senate. He has blamed for frustrating key elements of his agenda. So instead, Democrats appear to have gained control of the House of Delegates from Republicans. Unofficial results from election night tallies show Democrats holding a 21-19 edge in the Senate and taking back the House with a 51-49 edge.
Mm-hmm.
So the school board candidates in Virginia also, who's
mm-hmm.
sponsored by Betsy DeVos. What's her name? Moms of Liberty. Not
yep.
only in Virginia, but all across the country, they failed miserably. None of them got elected to anything, you know? How do you feel about that in terms of, you know, basically, Youngkin is going to be a lame duck governor.
Yeah. I was very you know, for the past couple of weeks, I feel like there was a cloud hanging over this, over everything. I knew that these elections were coming up, this special election was coming up, and then I heard about, you know, the polls that, you know, President Biden's down and, you know, his numbers are down, and everything was, I was angry with the, frustrated with the media, because they never have anything nice to say, like that person that wrote to me. She feels the same way. She feels that the media, you know, and the GNC, they don't push and say what President Biden has accomplished. They really don't. And I feel, I agree with her in that respect. They need to have, and I remember we talked about this before, I would say they need to have somebody out there once a week saying and having a rundown of things that President Biden has done for the country. We don't have anyone that's out there, you know, pushing his agenda and saying, you know, he's done this, check it off. He's done this, check it off. We don't have that. And that really upsets me, because we need that desperately. But then last night, let's fast forward to last night. We started winning, you know, Ohio, Kentucky, Virginia, Mississippi was not
Pennsylvania.
Totally lost. Pennsylvania, to me, that people are paying attention. Maybe they're quietly paying attention, because I think the Republicans, like tonight, they're going to have a bad debate night, because they got slapped yesterday. You know, they nobody wants Republicans. They don't want their bullshit with their abortion rights, and, you know, and they can't read books, and you can't do this and you can't do that. Take away our rights for voting, for everything else. And they think people would just sit down and say, okay, hell no, won't happen in this country. It will not happen. Mm-hmm. So last night, I think, was a preview of what's to come. Now, would I like to see more publicity for President Biden, more, like I said, have somebody out there speaking for him, saying, look, this is what he's done this week. This is it. Mm-hmm. And just like I said, check it off. Because people aren't paying attention. They just hear the Republican side that the economy's bad, inflation's bad, this is bad, everything's bad. And everyone's in a bad mood. But last night lifted my spirit. How about everybody else?
Oh, definitely. I'm happy that Democrats won across the board except for Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
Mississippi, of course, like I said on top of the show, that Tate Reeves, the governor, he's incompetent. He's not well-liked by Republicans even in the state. And the Democrats, Everest Presley's cousin, I can't remember what Presley's name is, but, you know, Democrat Presley, outraised him by $6 million and gave him a good one for his money and everything. And how Tate, I keep forgetting his name. What the hell is this governor in Mississippi name? Tate Reeves.
Hi. Tate Reeves,
You know, the only reason why he won, arguably, is because, you know, the nine different polling stations that is predominantly black and minority, they were short in ballots. And imagine if they had all the ballots that they needed and people got a chance to vote. With Tate Reed, being reelected governor, nobody knows, you know. So I guess we'll find out in like 6 years' time, you know, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because if we can do so well in Mississippi, then who knows, maybe Texas, maybe Florida has a chance. You know, Nebraska, for example, when presidential elections going on, you know, the person can win the state, but you can split the Electoral College vote depending on the congressional district. You know, so there's hope for Democrats in red areas. And the 40-plus seats in the House, that is too close to call, and they're close, where Biden won by 10, 15, 20 points, but the Republican narrowly won, then those places are vulnerable because of Trumpism. And none of Trump candidates who he supported and endorsed won for school board, Moms of Liberty failed miserably. You know, so all across the board, Republicans are failing. And Yeah, from school board to county commissioner to city commissioner, every seat you can think of, whether statewide or locally or federally, Democrats beat their asses, and I'm happy about that.
Yep, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Moms of Liberty. People, you know, like I said, I think people are paying closer attention than we think, you know, because they lost, I think they won one race, but they lost every single race, you know, and that to me is great because that was a group that, you know, started in Florida and, yeah, and Trump was very much part of that. So, yeah, it's a beautiful thing. You know, it goes on to say, and I'll just read a little bit about it. So, Moms for Liberty. In Pennsylvania alone, all five of its candidates were defeated last night after running on a platform of banning books that teach students about slavery, LGBTQ plus inclusion. And it wasn't even close. Democratic candidates swept every single election. In Virginia, three Moms for Liberty school board candidates got swept by even larger margin. I can't talk tonight. I don't know what's wrong with me. Margin. You know.
Margin.
And I've been reading too much today. In Iowa, a whopping 9 months for Liberty candidates lost their races after accusing local school districts of disseminating pornography to children simply for having two books that discuss LGBTQ plus acceptance. In Minnesota, all four Moms for Liberty candidates got wiped out by their Democratic opponents. In North Carolina, the only candidate also suffered a stinging defeat. So I say, well done to voters. See, that's what I'm saying. They are paying attention. Maybe they're not vocal about it, you know, but they're paying attention. They are not the ones that are, you know, going to these school board meetings and acting like a bunch of, you know, I don't even know how to express what I say because I would be swearing. So they act out of control. They talk out of control. They raise their voices, and they want to make you afraid of them. That's what they do. And it's not going to work. So,
yeah, and the Moms for Liberty, the Moms for Liberty, when you're quoting Adolf Hitler and praising Hitler, you know something is wrong with that damn group, you know? And most of these Moms for Liberty people, they have no children. So when you say Moms for Liberty, you know, that's like the biggest oxymoron, basically. And look where the money coming from. Betsy DeVos, who has no business in public education. She had no business being the Secretary of Education. And the only reason why she got a job is because since 1972, during the Nixon days, right till now, she has given billions of dollars to the Republican National Committee and Republican candidates across the country. So she bought her way into the job that, you know, she knew nothing about. Her kids didn't go to public schools, and she, you know, sponsored this Moms for Liberty bullshit. So I'm glad it blew up in the face, and, you know, we can only hope that she just die and go away, but that not will happen. You know, it never happens, you know. So...
One of the things that both CNN and MSNBC said today, and it kind of made me chuckle, they said, we don't understand what happened. One of the questions we asked in our survey was, do you like the direction the country's going in? That's kind of an open-end question, isn't it? It doesn't say Democrat. It doesn't say Republican. So these people that went out and voted, they do not like the direction the country is going in. So they showed us at the poll. They voted blue.
Absolutely.
And the both stations, they were talking about it, and it hasn't dawned on them yet.
No, they have blue. That's what I'm saying. This group that is in, they're going to lose their seats. When it's time for them, they will lose their seats as well because they don't realize that people are sick to death of their infighting. They act like children. They speak out of turn. They have no respect. What comes out of their mouth is ignorance. and we can get into that in a little bit. There's a couple things. Lauren Boebert and your friend Marjorie Taylor Greene, David, they were kind of cool together. So, you know, it's about time, you know, that the people have spoken. And yesterday, I think, like I said, was a preview of what's to come. We just have to continue to show, you know, their ignorance. And President Biden has got to show a little more. I know he's showing strength, but he's not boastful at all. And he doesn't, he takes the back seat. And some people, if you're not paying attention, you don't see what he's doing and what he's trying to do. And so we need to talk a little more about that as well as time goes on.
Yeah, the thing is, the DNC, ever since 1972, when George McGovern was a candidate, they tried to copy Richard Nixon's model of being like, you know, more centrist / going to the right. I don't know why they're trying to emulate the Republican Party, because, you know, the Republican Party from then till now is shit. You know, why would you want to emulate shit? And so now the strategy of this 2024 campaign should be one of direct action, where when they tell a lie, you hit back with the truth. Have a war room. The DNC claim that they have a war room. Now is a good time, more than ever, to have the war room enacted. So when Republicans come with the garbage, you can counteract them the very next day. You know, not wait and make it fester up and make Fox News and right-wing media and even mainstream media grab on to it and say, oh, yes, that. It's going to hurt Joe Biden if the door hit back immediately. That's why we lost in 1988 with Michael Dukakis. That's why we lost in 72 with George McGovern. We're too goddamn nice. Enough already.
Yes.
You know?
I agree. Yes. And that's what I'm saying. We need a spokesperson that comes out, you know, maybe twice a week. Once a week is enough. But, you know, have it on I don't know, have it a certain time of the day or evening and, you know, have that person front and center and, you know, talk about it. I mean, when Trump was president, he was out there every freaking day. I was so sick of him. I wanted to just throw something at the TV. You know, it was tiring. So that's someone that's going to say what he's doing and, you know, don't be, they don't have to, like, you know, go through every policy. Just, you know, what, you know, the week in review for President Biden, you know, something like that. So just so people are aware how hard he's working, because it's just not coming out, you know. But maybe it is. And, you know, last night, maybe I'm wrong. So we'll see.
Our friend Brian Tyler Cohen had a thing on his show the other day, not last night, in fact, where I asked him a question on behalf of, you know, what happened that night where Democrats had a clean sweep. And I said, why is the message of Bidenomics not going out there? Because in some red states, it's working wonders. But across the country, generally, people are not feeling the impact, the positive impact of Bidenomics, you know? And he responded by saying that, one, the Democrats are just crap on message. And then, two, Republicans, especially the MAGA Republicans, demagoguing the issues. You get what I'm saying? Having this culture war thing. And culture war don't put food on the table, don't put a roof over your head and everything. So why, again, is our media, whether mainstream media, well, the right-wing media, you can't say, because they're propagandists. They're a more peaceful Republican Party. You know, the mainstream media, their responsibility is to parse through the bullshit and explain to people that, hey, this is how Bidenomics would affect you, you know, compared to Reaganomics, compared to any other system that Republicans come up with. And Republicans saying no to all these things, okay, it's good and well saying no to everything Biden and Democrats put forward and trying to compromise with you. But what's your solution? Where's your bill to say, hey, you know, we create more jobs by doing this? You know, we're going to have better schools, you know, instead of prisons. You know, we're going to have better health care. We're going to lower prescription costs by putting this bill through. Republicans have none of that, but yet still the media focusing on Biden's age. Trump is 2 years younger than Biden, And you see how Trump's stupid. He's giving a speech at Iowa or wherever recently, and he stopped mainstream. Like, he fell asleep, and his trail of thought just went nuts.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, he's saying one thing and then saying another thing and just butchering the English language. But also, the street was on the rug. You know, it's frustrating.
There should have been front and center, you know. And the
thing
is, too, David, is that the thing is, David and Elaine, Trumpism has basically taken over the media since he was president. And then what happened after, you know, the election denial and the insurrection, and now, you know, he's got 91 indictments against him, and he's got all these trials lined up. And every single day it's something. So he is on the news from morning until night. Everything is about him. Everything. I mean, they do talk a little bit about the president and what's going on in the country and Israel and everything else. But basically, they are focused on him, you know, and his charges and what he said in court and how he acts like a baby and how he throws temper tantrums. We know all this. Why can't they just focus on the positive things that's happening in this country? Because, and Bidenomics, by the way, I think the other thing they need, that the party needs to explain, is that all of that takes time to go into effect. You know, when they sign a bill, they put things in, it takes time to go into effect. I mean, sometimes it's the next year. You won't feel it for 2 years. Like the CHIPS program, and all of that is going to be built in the United States. But the thing is that we don't feel the effects of that yet because it's in progress. So people have to understand, too, things are in progress, but maybe in 5 years we will feel it. You know, maybe in five years it'll be better. But we have to get rid of this cloud, this orange cloud that's over the country that won't go away. It won't go away. And that is the most stressful of everything.
You cause an orange cloud, I cause an orange shit stain on America. You know, Donald Trump since 2015 has been using the Constitution, the Constitution to wipe his ass with. You get what I'm saying? And, you know, Chris Christie and DeSantis and, you know, and Burgum from North Dakota, the governor, and Asa Hutchins, no sad chance. But at least those four people in the Republican field are talking and saying, hey, there's no way in hell Trump can escape prison. So this is a dilemma now where, okay, he gets a Republican nomination, he's sitting in prison, and hypothetically, big hypothetical, suppose he wins, you know, that would be a constitutional crisis because we never had a president of the United States elected sitting in prison. What may happen after that? Because the forefathers, the writers of the Constitution, didn't say a real douchebag like Trump assuming office.
No.
And we think that the media would learn from 2015, giving him such airtime, you know, giving his base supporters, you know,
that's
more.
If they even took a week off, you know, and just sound like he didn't exist for a week, you know, I think everyone would be happier in this country. Everyone's against each other because there are so many opinions about everything, you know, and the fact is that he did what he did, and he is no better than anybody else, and if he's guilty, he's guilty, and he has to do the time for the crime. That's it.
Exactly.
He's not anyone special at the end. No, he's not anyone special at the end. That's it. So the next thing I'd like to talk about, David, I sent this to you. You know how we were talking, you were talking earlier about how the Republicans don't do anything. They don't do anything productive. So the next thing that they want to do is the House GOP attempts to cut Buttigieg's salary to $1 via a spending bill. House Republicans move to reduce Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg's salary to $1. as lawmakers debate spending bills ahead of the government funding deadline next week. Now, next week will be the funding deadline. In other words, the government can shut down. So what are they worried about? They're worried about cutting the transportation secretary's salary to a dollar. That's important to them, isn't it? That's important to our government. That's important to running the country and moving it forward. Isn't that important? So
yes, it is.
This, yeah. So the salary cut for Buttigieg was put forth by our favorite friend, Marjorie Taylor Greene from Georgia, and adopted by voice vote as the amendment to the 2024 Transportation of Housing and Urban Development Funding Bill. Pete Buttigieg, and this is what she said, I quote, doesn't do his job. That man is all over the country. I've seen him all over the country. It's all about fake photo ops and taxpayer-funded private jet trips to accept LGBTQ awards for him, Green posted on X, the platform formerly known as Twitter. I'm happy my amendment passed, but he doesn't deserve a single penny. The underlying bill needs to be approved by the full House and is unlikely to be approved by the Senate. The Holman Rule, which gives members the ability to propose amendments for appropriations bills that decrease the salaries for specific federal workers or programs to a dollar, essentially defunding them, was reintroduced in January when House Republicans adopted a rules package following Kevin McCarthy's battle to become Speaker. It's not the first time Green and other Republicans have taken the rule to slash salaries to target spending by the Biden administration. In September, Green offered another amendment reducing pay for the Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin. I mean, this is how they waste their freaking time. Why do you
and taxpayer
care
money?
How much we make? Huh?
And wasting taxpayer
what?
Money.
Taxpayer money and time. We're going to be in a government shutdown the 17th of November. Just wait and see. I say it'll be shut down. What do you say?
Yeah, with this new Speaker of the House, yeah, he's an extremist.
Yep.
He's a Trump supporter. And hopefully, it's alleged that his lover, remember this guy is a born-again Christian, and there's a guy who came forward saying soon and very soon he'll say, spill the beans on what happened, because he and the new speaker allegedly are gay lovers. You know, so I don't know how that might play out in a Republican conference. The guy said he has receipts and everything. So again, you know, instead of doing the job of the American people and the people who elected them to do the job, they're panning to corporations wanting to give them more tax cuts and everything. That's the only things Republicans are about, giving tax cut to the wealthy, you know? And, you know, there'll be a government shutdown come the 17th when midnight strike and there is no deal because this new speaker won't budge, you know?
No. No, he won't.
Do you think that maybe we could start a call-in that if the UAW workers, back when the automobile industry was running into trouble, and that is one of our main industries in this country, can take concessions and cut their wages, that since we have a shortfall in Washington with this up-and-coming budget, could they work the next year for half pay? What do you think?
Yeah.
What do you think about a call-in for something like that?
Well, I don't think it would get anywhere, but we could try.
Yeah, could always try.
Well, it's a suggestion. We, you know, I can't think of anything else right now. I did watch some of that Republican debate today. And they're doing a lot of flip-flopping up there.
Of course.
They are not going to touch Social Security. Oh, they're they will not touch Social Security. Do I believe them? Hell no.
No. Yeah, it's crazy.
So one of them stood up there and lied as their nose grew.
Yeah, so what do you think about Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds? She's a Republican. She endorsed, what's his name, Ron DeSantis over Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Do you think she's jockeying for a position to be a vice presidential running mate if DeSantis wins the nomination?
Of course.
Yeah, there's always a reason for everything.
Of course.
Yeah, why not? Ron DeSantis is horrible, horrible.
Or something in the cabinet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, David, I think
Lucy's
on the line. Did you see her call?
Wait, hold on. I'm looking for it. One sec.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not on the screen yet. Hold on.
Okay.
Jesus. Okay. One sec. Oh, Lord, I lost the screen. I'm trying to get the screen back up and everything. Give me just one sec. Okay. Okay, it is... Yes, Susie. All right. Hey, Susie, welcome to the show. What's cooking?
Hi, Susie.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can
hear
you.
Yes, loud and clear.
Oh, hallelujah. That's three nights in a row I tried. I don't know what was going on. Oh, my God. No, I was saying about Buttigieg's $1. That's a joke. Look who's trying to cut his money off. They ought to cut her money off. And Bobart and them. They're not doing a damn thing. The excuse was the oil, the Ohio Railroad derailment. He was there. She said he never went there. I don't know. She's out of her mind. They're out of their mind.
All over the country.
Yeah, the railroad, the airline backup and strike, he's got it up and running. He's putting more air traffic controllers in, getting more pilots in. What the hell does she want? She does nothing. They ought to get rid of her, Bobart, Santos, that idiot, and a bunch more.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first thing that should happen if they shut down the government, all of them get no money at all and no pension for every day that there are not. They shut down the government. They should go first.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They do not.
But Susie, what do you think about Mike Johnson admitting on social media he and his 19-year-old son monitor each other's porn intake?
Yep.
A video came up recently of that.
Yeah.
You know, those holier than thous are worse than us all. You know that, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
You bet.
They're just creepy. He's just creepy. He gives an awful vibe. He's like this priest and minister molesters. That's what he is. And he's so far right, it's ridiculous. And did you hear his wife talk? She sounds like Minnie Mouse.
Submissive voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's so programmed. That's what I get the feeling. She's programmed, you know, like a Stepford wife or something.
But
they're
this
both
is what
creepy.
So he was saying, Mike Johnson was saying, don't talk about his wife and her anti-gay Christian counseling services. You know, is it coincidental that, you know, her Prayer Way of the Gay type of counseling services, that website was taken down once he got the speaker set? Kelly is her name, Kelly Johnson. They had a joint interview with Fox News over the weekend, and they spoke to Kelly McEnany. About how Johnson's meteoric rise to the Speaker of the House impacted his family. And McEnany asked how they were handling the increased media attention on their lives and beliefs, and particularly when it comes to focus on Kelly Johnson. So she's in a public spotlight, being the wife of the new Speaker and everything. So they want to talk about Joe Biden and his family. So why is his family off limits?
Exactly. And you know, they still haven't found any evidence against Biden. And there are Republicans that are searching for it and have found nothing. There's nothing there. And they're spending millions of dollars because they want to get back at the Democrats for Trump being, you know, costing us a bazillion dollars to put in prison. God, he's got to go.
Mm-hmm.
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 But, it's all screwed up. I don't understand. There's no such thing as a Republican Party. It's just a fascist party. And Rachel Maddow wrote a book on it. She says it's coming. Mm-hmm. It's exactly the playbook from Mussolini and Hitler.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
We got to wake up. We got to do something. We have to stop this. And you know and all the online stuff is fed by China and Russia, too, just stirring the fire more and more. And people believe the crap they see on the Internet and on Fox. I have really smart friends that are so mega, it scares the crap out of me.
There's no deprogramming them. That's how I look at it from now on. There's no deprogramming them. They're just, you know.
Yeah, it's like they try to deprogram a gay person. You are what you are. You can't change it's crazy.
I want to talk about what this woman does because I think it's important to know what we're dealing with here. She has a place it's called Temperament seems of the Greek physician Hippocrates. I can't talk today. It's splits people into the categories melancholy, choleric, sanguine, supine, and phlegmatic. Phlegmatic. Speaking about her husband's new role. As Speaker, Kelly Johnson told McKinney that she believed God has placed him here. It's a biblical. The Bible says he raises up leaders and he brings them down. That's what she says. You know, you cannot.
Looney Tunes. It's Looney Tunes.
Then they asked about her dad dealing with you know, heightened profile. They're doing pretty well. I think they're also in shock because it's still so new, but they're proud of their dad and they're excited. You know, it's just, these people are, they don't belong where they are. He does not belong in that spot. He really doesn't.
Mm-hmm. No.
At all.
He's scary.
So going back to porn, that really bothers me because he says, this is what his quote was. He admits that he and his son monitor each other. Porn intake refers in this resurfaced video. And he went on to say, I'm proud to tell you, my son has got a clean slate, Speaker of the House says, of his accountability partner. Don't you
That's pretty
think
damn sick
weird?
That they're even watching porn, let alone okaying your son to look at porn when he's in high school.
Wait a minute. I'll say, you know, people watch porn. That isn't the point I'm trying to make.
But he's always a now Christian. Is that a Christian thing?
No. And but why does a father and a son, why are they monitoring each other? That's what I find so creepy.
That's sick.
Me the hell out. Creeps me out. A father and
sick.
A son, why didn't he go to a counseling center to get monitored? You know what I'm saying? I find that so creepy.
You know, there's parental guidance on TV and on computers and stuff. You monitor what your kids do, so you can turn it off. Why isn't he doing that? Turn off the crap and don't let his kid watch it. But he's watching it, too, so the kid watches what daddy watches. That is really sick.
But there are people, we have to admit, there's people everywhere that watch that porn. I mean, they do. But
that people that keep on saying, I'm holier than thou, do what I
right
say. I am a Christian, and you can't have abortions. You can't do this. You can't do that, you know. Who is he to tell us when he's a freak?
I know. It's like, you're right about that. But the other thing is the son, the father-son thing, like I said.
Yeah,
that
that's really creepy.
That's creepy as hell. What do you think about that, David?
Yeah, it would like you and one of your children, you know, sitting down together and watching porn and discussing it and, you know, salivating over it. That's just,
I can't even imagine that. There would never happen in a million years.
It makes no sense. Mm-hmm. There's nothing logical about it. It's just creepy. It's creepy.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we know that about him, you know, and then she's got a counseling center, you know, that thinks they can turn, you know, gay men and women or boys and girls, and, you know, she can turn them around. She's crazy, too. So I guess
they have a daughter or do they only have a boy?
I don't know. I don't know, to be honest with you. I know they have more than one.
I'd be worried about the poor girl.
Yeah, no kidding. Woo! Scary stuff. Scary stuff.
I mean, how did he get in office? How did he get where he's at? And why is he there? And after all this came out, why aren't you hearing people hollering from the rooftops, get rid of his ass? He's a sick bastard.
I know. I think so, too. I think there's something really wrong with him. But that's my opinion.
Yeah. Well, that's today's Republican Party. I remember Trump, when Ivanka was 13 years old, he made a statement on Howard Stern saying that, hey, you know, is it possible to love your daughter and want your daughter more than, you know, your wife?
Oh, he's a sick bastard, too. He's a sick man.
Oh,
yeah.
He's in interviews as well, you know, years ago. She was
lusting after his own daughter.
You know, and he was saying
how
pretty she
was. You got to wonder if he ever did it anyway.
He said. Also, that's what I'm trying to say. These people are
sick.
Mentally ill. They creep me out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
Trump was on the Howard Stern show, and that show used to be on after midnight. And I remember channel surfing, and I happened to catch that show. And Trump made some very, very suggestive remarks about his daughter.
Oh, yeah.
That, if she wasn't his daughter, he sure as heck would whatever. And Howard Stern, you know, his show was kind of raunchy there for a while, Howard Stern's show.
Mm-hmm.
But even Howard Stern was shocked.
Yeah.
Very, very shocked. And I thought, wow, if you're shocked, this guy is really bad. I mean, and then when he started running for office, I said, he'll never make it. Boy, was I wrong.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they say that in public, you can imagine what they do in private is way worse. And then, you know, like these Christians made him president, even though they got him on tape saying how he grabs women by the you-know-whats and everything and can do what he wants with them. That is a good president in their mind?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know.
Well,
crazy.
They were interviewing a Trump woman, and they asked her about the Billy Bob or whatever his name was in that particular interview, and she said, so he only did it once.
Mm-hmm.
The people that
how many women were going to sue him, remember, for groping and rape and all that stuff? He had like 8 or 10 of them at the time of the election, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I guess he paid most of them off.
For sure.
Okay, so Ivanka Trump, today she testified in the fraud trial. And she said she can't remember, or she made a comment, I don't recall, a whopping 30 times during this fraud trial and everything. So, you know, former President Trump was the star attraction Monday at his trial in a fraud case brought by New York Attorney General Letitia James and presided over by Judge Arthur Engoron. He took a stand after a week in which both former co-first sons, Eric Trump and Donald Trump Jr., took the stand. So on Wednesday, which is today, it was Ivanka's turn to testify in person. And after after several unsuccessful attempts to get out of it by pleading undue hardship. I mean, what undue hardship? She have the money she can, pay for babysitters. She have nannies. So we're talking about undue hardship. So MSNBC were in a courtroom on Wednesday, and on a Chris Jensen report, legal analyst Lisa Rubin told the anchor, Chris Jensen, that Ivanka didn't divulge much, but called it a remarkably effective interrogation from a prosecution. So with Ivanka saying, "I don't recall 30 times," is that an admission of guilt, do you think, Lori and others?
Yeah, all of a sudden she has amnesia, you know.
What was cool is they said, "You didn't remember this, but your name's on this, and you sent that email, and you did this, that." So they got her. I mean, they asked questions, they had the answers. So it was all bullshit, like interviewing her dad and her brothers.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You know what makes me angry is the average person will sign a contract, and they'll read it, and they might understand a paragraph or a line or two in it. And when they go to court, they get hammered about, "Well, you read it, you signed it." And little Miss Ivanka, who is running a company with her father, the Art of the Deal, they don't remember. I thought they had classes where they taught how to get rich with the real estate.
Didn't he have a degree
Trump
from
University.
Wharton? He keeps on talking about Wharton Business School, the famous school, but they won't show his grades. Remember?
Yeah.
But the thing is, you're talking about with a Deutsche Bank in Germany and other banks in Europe. We're talking about $2 billion, $3 billion loans. So how can you not remember, you know, the agreement and the terms of, you know, what you may borrow and interest rates and what have you? I mean, I'd love a bank, you know, to do business like that with, where, you know, you can just say whatever you want to say just to get that loan. You know, and then when it comes to court time now, he said, "Oh, geez, I don't recall. The evidence is there.
My accountant did it. My accountant did it." They keep on saying, "My accountant did it."
Mm-hmm.
And the accountant said, "We can't get the numbers. They give us the numbers. We put them in order."
If this was a regular Joe Schmo, they'd be in prison a long time ago. I don't know why this game going on where, you know, Just find them guilty already, because Jesus Christ, they're guilty. You know? Gotta get them special
treatment. Well, they said he's guilty on this. They're just deciding if it's going to be more than $250 million, fine.
Mm-hmm.
I think they should go to jail, but he's going to have to pay that back and the back taxes and stuff. So he's going to take a bigger hit than the $250 is just a maybe. And then, but they already found him guilty.
If he doesn't have the cash, which I doubt he has, there is going to be an awful lot of assets that are going to be sold. And that's another reason the court is being real careful and they're dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's.
Well, they're taking his business license, and he already sold the hotel in Washington that was a post office, and he made like $186 million on that one.
Well, isn't that the one Ivanka would handle?
Pardon?
That's the one Ivanka supposedly handled.
It was in the news today about that.
Yeah.
She didn't know anything about it, right?
Right.
And that one golf course in New York. they proved up, you know, they didn't ask a question they didn't know the answer of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cross-examination ought to be a real joke with his lawyers now.
Oh, yeah, they're a joke.
They had a chance to cross-examine him. They relinquished it. They said there's no need to.
No,
now,
didn't
that
they
doesn't
for
look
all of
good
them?
At all, that his own lawyers didn't even want to get cross-examine him because he was rambling. I guess it's because he was rambling so bad.
Oh, yeah.
The judge yelled at him, told him to shut up.
Well, he had a tantrum.
Yeah,
on Monday.
Said, you're not on a campaign trail. You're in the courtroom.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, so also today what happened in there, Lisa Rubin, who is the MSNBC legal correspondent, and she's been in the courtroom the whole time. And she said that on Wednesday, as the attorney general was wrapping up their question of Ivanka Trump, former President Donald Trump's elder daughter, among the many demands from Deutsche Bank is that Trump has a larger net worth than he actually had. He entered into an agreement with his adult heirs that he would take their assets to meet the requirements outlined by the bank. They pledged assets of their own that helped them satisfy the guarantee, which, according to Deutsche Bank, was his and his alone, Rubin said after racing out of the courtroom. He was borrowing money from his kids' piggy banks, and I'm not sure the impact of that struck everyone in the courtroom. My jaw almost dropped. I almost dropped my phone on the floor. I was astonished by the proof that Donald Trump was robbing Peter to pay Paul, so to speak. Mm-hmm. After the question, lawyers began their cross-examination of the eldest Trump daughter. So emails revealed in court showed she made over $4 million on her work on the old U.S. post office property. The Trumps made over $139 million off the deal. Then while in the White House, Ivanka and her husband Jared made $640 million. It concluded $13 million from the hotel since 2017, dropping about $4 million a year between 2017 and 2019, about $1.5 million, at least part due to the pandemic, reported the Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington in 2021. I mean, so he borrowed from his kids, like they said, dropped Peter to play Paul, and they were shocked in court. I mean, they were very surprised that she said that. And then the attorney, I sent you this as well, David, Trump's attorney, mm-hmm. Alina Haba, she's a piece of work. Mm-hmm. Has anyone seen her in action?
She threw a major temper tantrum, and a judge admonished her and everything, and she came out afterwards in a press conference, bitching and mourning and acting like a spoiled child. You know, it was preposterous. This woman have no business in a courtroom. She's a horrible lawyer, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So today she did a major screw-up today.
Mm-hmm.
It goes on to say Donald Trump's lawyers spent Wednesday morning objecting to Attorney General's office, asking to enter several documents into evidence. But one of them was their own. As witness Ivanka Trump took the stand, prosecutors asked her several questions about the conversations she had or emails she exchanged with Trump Organization executives. As the messengers, Adam Klatsfeld explained on Twitter, on several occasions, Ivanka said she couldn't recall the conversations, so the Attorney General's office entered documents into the evidence to refresh her memory. In one case, the prosecutors showed Ivanka an email from her to Alan Weisenberg and the other to the Trump Organization executives, December 15th of 2011. It doesn't get better than this. Let's discuss, Ivanka wrote. Haba objected to the email being entered, claiming that it was never sent. The New York prosecutors contradicted it, saying that the email was sent, showing the date. Prosecutor Kevin Wallace stepped in to address the authenticity, saying that the document Haba objected to was one of her own documents. Can you imagine that?
I know.
Mm-hmm.
They also mentioned that he has a problem with lawyers because nobody wants to do the job. He says they're not lined up around the block because they're not getting paid, and it's a crappy job. They can't win because he's so guilty.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine? The lawyer, Haba, didn't even realize it was her own document she was arguing about and saying wasn't true. I mean, this is the scope of what we have. This is the
scope
of what we're dealing with. insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
I thought that was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Okay, on to positive things now. So exonerated Central 5 member Yusuf Salim, he won New York City Council seat he ran for and everything. He was one of the Central Park 5 who Donald Trump said was guilty and she was put to death without no evidence and everything. And, of course, an answer saying that, you know, that admitted to being guilty of rape and whatever else. And they were exonerated years later. So now it's good to see that this person, Yusuf Salim, has won his seat. You know, is karma given justice? I'm happy.
Oh, I love that. I love that when I read that today. That was really nice.
Bravo to
mm-hmm.
him.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
Well deserved.
Mm-hmm. Was well deserved.
Indeed.
Right. I agree. Absolutely.
I hope the others recovered too and became successful, you know, for what
mm-hmm.
they went through.
Yeah, I mean, possibly.
You know, I don't know. I didn't hear about them, but do you know that Biden has another positive note? Biden has confirmed 150 federal judges. See, these are the things.
No, I didn't know that many. I know he was putting some up. Too bad he can't get rid of about three of them off the Supreme Court and put new ones in.
Yeah, three, four. President Biden on Tuesday took a victory lap after the Senate confirmed his 150th judicial nominee since he took office. It's a significant milestone as the White House seeks to put its stamp on the judiciary. Biden, in a statement, called it one of the great responsibilities for a president to appoint federal judges. Unlike the orange monster that put in people that would only be loyal to him.
With the Federalist Society, they picked them, and he just signed it.
Mm-hmm.
They're
mm-hmm.
the Nazis. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I was glad to read that. I was happy. And that's what when we were talking earlier, that's the kind of thing that should come out in a weekly, you know, I don't know what we could call it. What could we call it?
Mm-hmm.
Like a week.
What's good in government? I don't know what's good in government. What's good in government? I don't know.
Yeah, something. Because
you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder why we can't get rid of Tupperville. You know, like they try to get rid of. What's her name? Habas. You know, the Michigan gal. Yeah, can't they censure that asshole so they can get the promotions? They did some for the military, but not enough. And we're staring down the barrels of a war, maybe in the Mid East, besides the Ukraine and Russia and all that good stuff. So we need them there. And why do they have it for one person to do this? It doesn't make any sense. They need to change the rules because it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Because it used to work until the Republican took office.
Mm-hmm.
I know, but they
the thing
change
is,
the rules
the thing
now.
Is about it, leave it to the Republicans to give somebody like Tuberville power, because remember, that's how they operate. Reagan was a movie star, a B movie star, but, you know, he was on a B list or C list. He was a decent actor. He wasn't, like, good, but, you know, okay, he was a movie star. Boom. Elect him to be governor and then president. Clint Eastwood was the mayor of some town in California, you know, and it's like they're putting up people who are stars, quote-unquote stars, but no having a substance behind them in terms of political experience. And Tuberville is the worst of the lot, because Tuberville was a sucky football coach to begin with. And, you know, you know how we worship football and sports and everything in this country.
Mm-hmm.
It's
and
just name recognition, you know. They know the name. Oh, he must be okay because we know who he is, sort of.
We're seeing it with RFK Jr. He's getting 24% of the vote. When you have polls, you know, there was a QNAP poll recently. saying that he has 24% of the electoral vote if the election were held today on a presidential level. Why? He has no political experience. We know what a kook he is. None of his family members support him, you know?
Mm-mm.
And
they
only thing he has name
recognition. And they came out and said so. His family said, mm-hmm. we will not vote for him. We're not for
mm-hmm.
him. His own
mm-hmm.
father would be embarrassed by him. So that's not
mm-hmm.
saying a hell of a lot, duh.
Exactly. Exactly.
I don't
mm-hmm.
believe the
and look at Herschel Walker, for example. Herschel Walker is the biggest fool you could ever meet. He couldn't put two sentences together. He's worse than Trump.
Nope.
And he almost became U.S. Senator from Georgia. Why? Because people worship stardom. They worship athletes. They worship actors. Zero substance, zero credibility. I mean,
mm-hmm.
hell, George Santos, he made up his life. You know, who's a real George Santos? Is George Santos even his real name? We don't know nothing about this character. But he lies and lies and lies. Republicans just,
mm-hmm.
you know, suck up these things. You know, how much
mm-hmm.
Trump, how much lies Trump told during his 4 years? Over 30,000 plus. And yet still people still worship him. I just don't understand
it. I just can't understand how anybody can run for office without a resume check by the powers that be. You know, any job you go into, from McDonald's all the way up to CEOs of whatever, and
mm-hmm.
they all had background checks and where'd you go to school, were you arrested, blah, 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 blah. And then you get these idiots that go in and they don't have a brain in their head or, you know,
mm-hmm.
any education. They can't talk. They can't write. They don't. You got to be a lawyer to read laws. None of Santos and Green, you got to be kidding me. They're stupid.
Yeah, and that's where the media come in again.
The
was the is the media's job to do background checks, but they didn't do the due diligence and everything. And George Santos came and won the election on lies, you know. So now we're in this debacle, this pickle, you know. So hopefully.
Yeah, they got to have the FBI or CIA or something do background checks on all these idiots that want to get in
mm-hmm.
there. They at least
mm-hmm.
have to have two brains, you know, sense in their brains to rub together and no criminal
mm-hmm.
background.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make any sense. And see if they're lying,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they lie like hell.
Mm-hmm.
But then
exactly.
they have people with credentials who have done it to us, like Mr. Cruz. He has
mm-hmm.
got credentials up the woos. And who's that other one? The eye doctor? Oh, darn, I can't think of his name.
Ron
Paul, the eye doctor. Well, sort of. You know, it's up to us people to start vetting these people and paying attention to who we put in office.
Also, we got to watch the money. The Supreme Court fucked it all up, excuse my French, by allowing corporations to give all they want and rich people. And they keep it dark so you don't know who's buying them off, like the Federalist Society, you know, what they're doing with the Supreme Court right now. You know, they're giving them money, buying them off, doing all this shit. That has to be changed. They never used to be able to have corporations give that much money. In Michigan, when we started our business, it was $2,400 per election person running. That was it.
Yep.
And you had to report it, and, you know, it was on the list. It wasn't dark money, and they weren't going to get rich off of you.
Well, there was a way around dark money, even with the 24, but you couldn't get billions of dollars that way.
Hell no.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It was called funnel it.
Yep. We got to clean that
shit.
It's out of control now. It's definitely out of
control. Yeah, remember when Bettina, that girl from Russia, she funneled money through the NRA, which in turn NRA money went to you know, Republicans around the country and everything. And that was Russian oligarchy money. You know, who went to prison for that? Nobody. You know, nobody went to prison. But imagine if a Democrat did that. You know what hell would have raised?
Oh,
but
no,
yeah.
How that was done.
is what they call it funneling money, is you take, let's say, $1,000 and you get 10 people and you deposit that money in their checking account, and then they write a check to the candidate. Well, as back then, you could only trace it to the person that was writing the check.
That
Money laundering.
That was called dark funneling money.
Money laundering. Republicans are good at that. They're scammers. They're liars. They're crooks. Nixon would have been proud. It's disgusting, these people.
And then when they get all that, you know, millions of dollars, they're like the Russian oligarchs that with Putin, you know. And then Putin will turn on them and push them out the four window or whatever if they say anything against them. But they're all bought and paid for. Hey, you could do this for me and I give you oil wells or yachts and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. They own the businesses that Russia takes over. And we're turning into that.
Okay, we have another 20 minutes left. And there's this mayor, Bubba Copeland. He wore many hats in the small city of Smith Station. That's in the east of Alabama. And he was the mayor. He was a pastor. He was the owner of a local grocery store. And he was a husband and father. So this guy, Bubba Copeland, he was known in the community and everything. And days before Copeland took his life, the 49-year-old was revealed to have another identity, this time of a man who liked to dress up as a woman and write erotic fiction. So here again we have a conservative Republican, Christian, who was a pastor and a mayor and, you know, what have you. And he's playing a double life. And because people are going to out him and expose him, he killed himself. So there you have the hypocrisy again where, you know, do as I say, not as I do. And when you get called out for it, you know, you take the cowards will by killing yourself. You know, what's your thoughts on it, Lori?
It's, you know, in a way, it is sad because he took his own life. But I think the problem is that he couldn't, he was ashamed, of course. And he was like you said, he was a pastor. He owned a grocery store. I mean, he was a husband, a father, and he was a transvestite, I guess. I mean, what else is it, right?
According to this, he was medically transitioning from a man to a woman.
Oh, was he? Okay. Well, there you go. So he was probably ashamed. And, of course, in Alabama, you know, and it's a small city. And that's probably why he decided to commit suicide. It's kind of sad, you know. I mean, and hypocritical at the same time. But sad because he just felt he had to take his life because of it.
Yeah, it may sound harsh for me, but... good, the son of a bitch is dead. Good, motherfucker. I hope you burn in hell, you hypocrite. You know? No, I'm not going to play the nice guy and everything. You know, he is one of them who go out there saying, oh, you burn in hell because, you know, you're a man, but no, you want to be a woman. But yet still behind closed doors, this bastard was doing the very same thing. You know? How is that? No. Uh-uh, you don't get away with that. You know? Telling other
and
people
you
how to live their lives.
Johnson must be doing more than watching porn behind closed doors.
Oh, are you kidding?
I know.
See him doing so much more.
Oh,
absolutely.
God, yeah. So who knows what he's doing? And to allow his kid to do it, that's really sick.
Yeah.
I got a strange feeling that the Johnson mom and dad are players.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, you mean swingers?
Swingers.
I didn't even talk about that.
Yeah, swingers. I have a feeling they're swingers.
So,
and guess what? When Johnson, Speaker Johnson, was 25 years old and single, he adopted a 14-year-old black youth. You know, not legally, but he said he adopted him. So, you know, why did he legally adopt him? Huh?
Yeah.
That sounds fishy. That's weird.
No, yeah. It sounds very bizarre. And you know what? Mm-hmm. If you look at their family pictures, he's never in a picture.
Mm-hmm.
In
exactly.
a family picture. He's not. Like I said, this mm-hmm. man is weird. His wife is
weird.
Well,
because Nazis don't sniggle up to black people. You know that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he's
mm-hmm. those
upper
Negroes have to know the place. Yeah, he looks like the type.
This
yep.
sounds
yeah.
like what they were doing with the indigenous children at one time. You could buy them and adopt them for $10.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, sick.
Oh.
Yeah, these Republicans are sick, for real.
Well, four minutes left.
So, yeah, go
like
ahead.
I'd like to bring something up with Trump. I wish this wouldn't go to court. But I wish all the people that have been screwed, tattooed,
mm-hmm.
business-wise by Trump would all come forward. I read a story on Facebook, and I cried.
Mm-hmm.
This man was brand new at doing business. He called his friend up, and he was so excited. He said, I'm going to do a job for Donald Trump. And his friend
mm-hmm.
told him, don't. He's got a bad
mm-hmm.
reputation. He said, no. He says, Donald Trump. He says, that's gonna get me somewhere. I'm gonna flourish. He does the job
mm-hmm.
for Donald Trump. Donald Trump doesn't pay him a damn dime.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. One penny. He put the bill for the material and did the job. It was a ballroom.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, Donald Trump's attorney said, you take half or go to hell, you get nothing.
Yeah.
Well, he felt bad for all of the creditors. He was really a super individual, and they worked with him. He would send everybody a little bit of money, including the people he had working for him. He gets this half amount. He pays everybody off.
Yep.
And as soon as the last check was paid and it cleared, he blew his brains out. That's why when I read that, I cried. I wonder how many people got screwed by Donald Trump.
Wow.
Oh, many. Through the years, probably lost count.
Probably.
And he doesn't care. That's the other part of it. He does not care. There's so many stories out there about people getting screwed by him. It's just unbelievable.
I can picture Trump being told that this man blew his brains out because of this. And I can picture Trump answering, loser.
Yep. Absolutely. He sure would. He has no remorse. He has no capacity of feelings. He has no soul. Doesn't have a heart.
No right and wrong. He does not
know
the difference. It's all about him and fuck everybody else.
He just wears a blue
and I'm beginning to wonder if his kids, I kept giving Ivanka the benefit of the doubt. I'm beginning to wonder if any of his kids have any kind of compassion.
Ivanka, are you kidding? Never give her the benefit of the doubt. Heck no. She was.
Well, I gave her the benefit of the doubt because I think that she was also his wife.
Mm-hmm.
You got to figure the Arab money was because of Ivanka that her husband got it. You can bet on that.
Mm-hmm.
You better believe it. So, no, I don't,
I
don't feel anything for her. You know, and then she said, you know, coming there was undue hardship. Well, you know what? 2 days ago, she went to the Kardashians' birthday party in the evening. Was that why? Wasn't that undue hardship? You know,
that's
she has a nanny.
People I don't
give me
like.
A break.
Those Kardashian women, they just leave me cold.
I don't like them either. So, I'm just saying, you know, her.
Quick thing. Don't forget what you're going to say. She'll have six nannies. Four housekeepers, three kids, four babysitters. So she have no excuse, and they live in their house. So she have no excuse saying that, you know, it's hardship.
No.
She have the people to cover, you know.
She thinks we're all stupid.
I mean, she just wants to warm her way out.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
No.
These people are just dishonest and disgusting. And America, wake up. MAGA people who worship these assholes and losers, wake up, because they're not going to prison for you. You didn't do anything. They did it. You know?
Yep.
And every time you send them money, you know, it just shows how stupid you are. Stop giving Trumps your money. They're living lavishly off your hard-earned dollars. You know?
Yep.
Come on. Be smart. Be intelligent. You know, the Trumps never cared for you, and they never will care for you.
No, they don't.
Just as Secret Service Bill, while he was in office, was ridiculous. He made me charge him so much when he was at Mar-a-Lago and on his golf courses. Yeah. He charged thousands percent more than he charged his clients or guests.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he screwed the government constantly. No, I have no sympathy for them at all. And, you know, going to the cemeteries for the military and said they're suckers. I mean, the guy's an idiot. He's scumbag.
Mm-hmm.
He's awful. I don't know how, you know, piece of shit, that's all. Shouldn't be breathing the air.
Yes. And why did Jared Kushner get $2 billion 2 days after Jamal Khashoggi died? Somebody needs to explain that to me. Like I'm a 5-year-old child. Break it down for me.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's ridiculous. These people are ridiculous.
They'll never tell them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, wrap up time now. Final thoughts. Anything big happening in the Republican debate tonight? Or is it same old nonsense?
Watched it. It's probably going to be the same old, same old.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. You know, I mean, none of those – you know, the only one that's had the guts to stand up to Trump is Chris Christie. It's the only one. Haley, she's got a different name. I have to look it up.
Mm-hmm.
Why doesn't she use her real name?
It's quite long. It's like about 14 letters the first name and about 16 letters the last name.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's not her real name. She changed it. So, interesting. I have to look it up.
Just like how Bobby Jindal did his name change, you know. Yes, they belong in the Republican Party because they're all liars and fascists, and they have no chance of becoming president. You know, Nikki Haley can run all she wants. In the Republican Party, they look down on women, think you should be barefoot and pregnant, you know, with no education. And that's what Nikki Haley supports. Good for her. You know, the time may come in America where, you know, people will sort of get fed up. Hopefully it goes on until next year when the election comes. They'll remember everything the Republican Party did to screw over Americans and mess up the country and mess up Bidenomics and everything. And what is their solution to put on the table? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. They're saying, oh, you know, trust us, elect us, and you'll see. No, that's not how it works, you know.
And they want to shut down the government, too. And Johnson wants to do it in steps and cut things down. Oh, we'll let it go another 30 days, but we're going to take your Social Security away or veterans' benefits or money to the IRS. That was his first thing. That's what keeps the government open, dumbass.
Exactly. Yeah, so...
Well, I watched the Republican debate today until the program started, and I'll tell you, that Schwamy guy, he has no respect for women at all. He really, really enjoys picking on
Nikki Haley.
Well, I mean, when he picks on her, he's got a grin from ear to ear. That piece of shit.
Yep, I know. I just like him.
Oh.
Yeah, well, like I said, the only thing last night gave me some hope And we just have to keep thinking that and understanding that people are paying attention, I think, more than we think. Last night, even, you know, some of the people that were interviewed and, you know, on the street and saying why they voted for, you know, Democrats. And it was because they don't like what's going on in this country. They don't want their rights taken away at all. And so when you step on their toes, you know, they're going to get mad. And their toes were stepped on, especially women's toes. Our toes have been stepped on. And so we are not going to allow these Republicans to step on our toes and think that they can tell us what to do with our bodies, because they cannot. And last night proved that, and it's going to continue through 2024. Mark my words.
And I hope they pass the Equal Rights Amendment before I die. They started it when I was in college, and they still haven't passed it.
Yeah, I know. Well, like I said, they do things slowly, but, you know.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I think that Eli Cummings? And
Elijah
John
Cummings.
Lewis, yeah,
mm-hmm. Elijah.
I think they were both looking down. They were both looking down, and they were just sending their messages from above to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that has to be the last word. We'll thank Elaine, and we'll thank Susan for calling in, and thank you for listening and all. Congratulations to the Democrats who won big all over the country yesterday. And special praise go to Democrat Presley in Mississippi, who gave that governor of Mississippi, Tate, whatever his name is, a run for his money. Maybe next time around, a Democrat can win Mississippi as governor, you know?
Would be awesome.
So, yeah, so join us again tomorrow night, same time, same place. This has been Kitchen Politics 1-2-3 for November 8th, 2023. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
Night, David. And this is Lori Pickup from Michigan. Thank you all for calling, and thanks, Susie and Elaine. Have a good night, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye now.
Good night.
Good no.